Praise God, good morning. Let's open our Bible to the book of Psalms. And let's read together Psalm 71. Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Amen. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the members thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous work. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast shown me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery. Even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp. O thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame, amen, that seek my heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your speaking clearly, O God, on the behalf of your church and your people, and your servant who have dedicated their lives unto thee from their youth to serve you wholeheartedly, O God. Thank you, Lord. Watch over the work of your hand, O God, and sustain us. Sustain your church and your people who delight in you, who seek your face, who walk in your ways, O God. Let's give thanks to the Lord for all his goodness, his deliverance, his support, his victories along the journey that we are passing through. Thank you, Lord, for dealing with the enemies, evildoers, for provision, for sustaining us, for healings, for the miracles, for protecting our families and our loved ones, for solving the problems, for opening doors, for dealing with traps of Satan and enemies and evildoers. We thank you, Lord, you've never been late to rescue us from the teeth of those. You had broke the arm of the wicked. You had broke their jaws who want to bite. We thank you, God. We bless you. We magnify you. Oh God, let's confess our sin. Let us be ashamed of all the good things that we have received from the Lord and commit our life once again to stop doing even a small sin. God wants you to give it up. Bad attitude, wrong behavior. God wants you still to cleanse you from such. Yes, oh God. Cleanse your church as we confess our sin in your presence one by one. Cleanse your church in the name of Jesus. Let us come to God and ask Him our needs now. The Lord Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Yes, O God, hear our prayers and our petition and give us what we need, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers and assurance that you will give us all our needs by faith. We receive them. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. We magnify you. We adore you for your provision, your protection, your healing, the opening doors you open to us. Let's pray now for one another. If you know any brother or sister is in need of anything, bring that person, that brother or sister in the hands of the Lord, so God will provide as we are praying and interceding and asking help from God for one another. Let's pray for our families and our loved one now. Pray for your husband, pray for your wife, pray for your children and your parents, pray for your siblings. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. Bless our families. Bless each and every family, God. Pray for each and every husband to be a leader of their own heart, to lead his family in the way of your righteousness. Pray for the wives to be submissive to their husbands as they are leading the family in the ways of God. Pray for the children to be obedient to the instruction of the parents that come from your word. Pray for blessing upon each and every family, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for each and every family to be the light for others to know you and to follow you. Let's pray now. Pray now for your job and the company that you are working and the place that you are working. As you, as they prosper, you too prosper. Lord, we commit ourselves to be the light for the people around us. We thank you for these companies and the places that you place us, oh God, to work and to earn our living. Bless these places, oh God, and as they prosper, we do prosper. We commit ourselves to work diligently, to be a good example to others, spread your word. Oh God, I pray for those who has no job, provide them income. I pray for the companies who are delaying in salaries, provide for these companies the adequate amount of finances to pay the salaries, Lord, for their employees in the name of Jesus. You make a way, Lord. Make a way, oh God, that they will receive funds and they will pay. Oh God, I pray for our brethren will have delayed salaries 2-3 months. We pray for their companies, provide for them so that they will pay them in full in the name of Jesus. Hear our prayers and our crying, O God. Let's pray for the places that we came from. Let's pray that we will spread the word of God and the word of God will reach there. Let's pray for our neighborhood people, and our cities, villages, towns that we came from, for our friends and colleagues from these places. Yes, O God, send your word to them. Let them know you. Let them follow you. Let them walk in your ways, O God. I commit myself, we commit ourselves, O God, to spread your word, to make it reach these places. In the name of Jesus. And let's pray now for the church and the place that He put His church here in UAE and the extension in Oman and in Kuwait, in Iraq, in India, Sri Lanka, Philippines, Australia, America, also Sierra Leone and Malawi. We thank and we praise you for extending your church, O God, and you had planted us in these places, O God. We pray for favor that comes from you upon us, from each and every government, that whatever documentations, facilities, that nothing will be lacking, O God. You will provide, O Lord, through them. We come against all the spirit of abuse, antichrist, anti-ministry, and anti-evangelism, anti-conversion spirit. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We pray for freedom. To preach your word, we pray for miracles and wonders, that you open doors for us to spread and to spread your word and to increase. We pray also, oh God, we prosper all these places as they prosper. We too pray, we too also prosper. We pray for miracles and wonders to be done by you in the name of Jesus, and you will give visions and dreams to people that they would know that you are the true God and we are your servants. We pray for the church, O God, and we pray for more people to come to faith, through conversion, through repentance, O God. People will receive water baptism, and Lord, once again, refill us once again with the Holy Ghost. Revive us, Holy Spirit. O Lord, give us the spiritual gifts that we need to continue to serve you, O God. Make our life a good example to others. O Lord, we pray that each and every one of us, workers, ministers, elders, pastors, parents, individual members, even in these places, O God, that you place us and scatter us, O Lord, over the world, that we will be doing your will in full in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for today's worship. We want to have a real, O God, encounter with you once again, O God, that you will speak to us, that we will see you face to face, O God. You will transform us. You will lead us to do the things that you want us to do. I pray for each and every one of us to hear your voice clearly and to apply what you want each and every one of us to do. And I know the worship, the prayers, the songs, the giving, the message, even this recording, anoint it, O God, and use it and make it reach to places, O God. Open doors for us to spread your word and to let your name be glorified. We thank you, God. We bless you. That's all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's all rise up and let us praise Him. bless you and glorify your name. I continue to live according to your word and declare your name, O God, Lord Jesus, to the nations around us, O God. And we trust you, Lord, that you will be with us and you will work in our midst, O God. You will work and bring salvation to the nations who will hear your word, O God. Truly, O God, salvation belongs to you, O God. Send your Spirit, revive people. O Lord, raise them from the dead, speak to them, show yourself to them in visions and dreams, even those who are sinners, criminals, even those who blaspheme you, Lord, even those who does not belong, who does not believe in you, Lord, reveal yourself to them. We trust you, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
trust, O God. We trust, O God, even during the hard time, trials, persecutions, work of Satan against us. We know you are in full control, O God. And all these trials that we are passing through is assuring us, is assurance for us, is a source of completeness and perfection from your side working in us. And we can see you, Lord, moving in our midst. Truly, Lord, we need you, O God. We need you, Lord, in our life. Each and every one is in need of you, and more of yours in our lives. O God, hear our prayer and answer us as we call to you. Jesus, you are all I need. guide us, O God. We give you, Lord, the full control. Me and my brothers and sisters, your church, we give you full control. Lead us and guide us. We know your plans are better than our plans and thoughts. And we know that we have to do your will in full. Lead us, Shepherd. Speak to us. Give us assignments, responsibility. Distribute your work for each and every one of us. Yes, O God, we realize today that we are accountable to you to do the responsibilities that you want us to achieve. Thank you, God. Bless the rest of our worship and guide us into the full truth of yours. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let us be seated in God's presence. Time now to collect our tithe and our offerings and our first fruit. All these things belong to God. God give us all things for our enjoyment. And God wants us to be faithful to Him in giving back. As we give, the Lord will bless us more. As we bring the tenth of all what we earn, God had a promise that He will open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there's no place to keep them. And also He promised that He will rebuke the devourer. And He will let all nations will know that you are blessed by Him. Now the question that must in the people's heart and mind, if I will give the tenth to God, will I be able to manage my life with the remaining 90%? The question is no. You will not be able to manage your life with the remaining 90%. Then how you will manage your life? I will tell you how you will manage your life. You will manage your life by the floodgates of heaven that is open unto you. Amen. I managed my life many years since I come to know the Lord. Not by the remaining 90%, but by the floodgates of heaven that He keep sending into my life. I tell you the truth. I have one problem. I have no place to keep the blessing. No place is enough to keep the blessings of God that He is sending. The more I give, the more He is giving. You cannot outrun God in giving. The more you give, the more you receive. Thank you, God, for your people. Thank you for blessing us much. Thank you, God, the healing. We cannot value with money or material things. The deliverance, the solving of problems. Oh, God, how many issues and troubles we are not aware of and you had bypassed from us. We thank you, God. We bless you, Jesus. Many times enemies and troublemakers, you dealt with them even without we are aware they are attacking us. We thank you for that. Here we are, Lord. We bring to you what belongs to you, the tenth of all what we receive, our first fruits also, our offerings of various kinds. Bless it, Lord. Bless your people here and our brethren in other places who are faithful also in giving. Lord, open the windows of heaven and bless them. Bless us, bless your church. Rebuke the devourer, the pestilence, the fines, accidents, sicknesses, troubles, deaths, penalties. We rebuke them all in the name of Jesus. Let all nations know we are blessed by you. We thank and praise you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's open our Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, chapter 3. And today, as we continue speaking from the sermon of Jesus on the mountain, when he said that a candle should not be hidden, but will be put in a place that all the house will be, you know, giving light, and the church is the candlestick of God to bring His word to the world around us. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. We had finished speaking about three churches, and now in chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, we speak about the fourth church, the church of Sardis, and let's read verse 1 to verse 6. We learn from what Jesus tells us, what Jesus say here in his message to the churches through the Apostle John writing. We learn from them, we can see the things that we lack. We can see our sin. We can see how we had been deviated away from God and His plans. And we will also see the way to come back and to be faithful to Him. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which hath not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us. Continue to speak to us, direct us. Let your word be powerful and effective to bring the fruit that you desire. Let it be healing, help, salvation, wholeness. Let people repent, let workers of yours surrender their lives and will and back to you to serve you wholeheartedly in the name of Jesus. I pray also, Lord, the purpose of sending your word shall be accomplished. Holy Spirit, come and refill us and revive us and give us our assignments to go on and spread your word and save you. We trust you, O God. O Lord, that as we go on, that you will reward us, you will sustain us. We thank you, God. We bless you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This church is the fourth one. It's also located in Asia Minor, that is Turkey today. And here, the Lord speaking to the church, he introduced himself in this way. These things say he that hath the seven spirits of God. Number seven is the perfect number, or the number that is preferred by the Jewish, that is perfect. And the seven spirits, the one who has the seven spirit. Why he introduced himself as the one who has the seven spirit? Because this church has the name that is liveth but are dead. The church of Sardis is a dead church who has no Holy Spirit of God. And here the Lord introduced himself to them as the one who has the Holy Spirit and the seven, and he has the seven spirit, and he wants them, and he wants us today to get the good things of the spirits of God. In Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2, we can read about the Spirit of God. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2. Say, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So here are the components of the components of the Spirit. What are they that need to ask God, that will come to us? The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might or power, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. God wants his church in Sardis and wants us today to get from him the Holy Spirit. And that's why he presented himself to them, that the one who hath the seven spirits of God. So he's challenging them, I have the seven spirits and you lack it. I need you to take these things. And the scriptures tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 3 and verse 34. John chapter 3 verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. That is about Jesus Christ. He say here that the one who is speaking the word of God, that is Jesus Christ, God had given him the Holy Spirit without measure. And here, in this message, in this letter to the church of Sardis, John is writing to them the words of Jesus. So, he is telling them, when you're going to receive these words of the Lord and take it, you will receive also the Spirit of God. We need to ask God to revive us, to give us his Holy Spirit, so that we'll be revived once again. Whatever dead part, lazy part, unfaithful part will be revived upon our repentance of these sins, and as we receive again the Holy Spirit of God. He say, Jesus, I have the seven Spirit of God with me. It means that, that's what you lack, I have them. What is the main character of this church? In verse 1 that he described them, he told them, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. He said that you have name, you have reputation, you are well known that you are alive. But actually I am seeing you dead. He is telling to them, maybe the people or the around you, nation, they see you are alive. But I am seeing you dead. So we need to understand why Jesus confronted them with such a way. What is the reason for them to die? They don't have the Holy Spirit. They are living in sin, maybe. They are not doing the will of God. They are non-fruitful. These are all the options that God is telling to them to repent of them. In John chapter 6 and verse 36, they were, you know, they are well known that they are alive, but they are dead. He told them, I know thy works. He told them, I know thy works. And after that, he told them this, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. So he's telling them, I know your work. And Jesus knows each and every one of us work. And the work of the Church of Sardis is dead work. There is nothing good. There is the work of the flesh. In John chapter 6 and verse 36, verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He say here that the work of the flesh is of no profit, no benefit, no fruit. He told them, the word I give you is life and spirit. Again, a challenge here that to take the word of God seriously. That's what you hear and what you read, the letter that you receive. Church of Sardis, even this message, take seriously. Repent. And receive the Holy Spirit of God. You know, he said, I know your works. Work of dead. They may are doing good things, activity. You know, let me tell you something. Good things, good thoughts may not be the work of the Holy Spirit. It's just plain church. It is just good thoughts, but they are not the things that God had led you into. Just practices, traditional things you are doing, but they are not the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. We need the Holy Spirit, we need to hear the voice of God so that we'll be directed by His voice. Why they are dead? We spoke about some reason. Another reason, maybe they don't have the Holy Spirit, maybe they are not yet born again. You know what is the meaning of born again and what is the situation here in the Church of Sardis? You know, like when Nicodemus visited the Lord in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus visited the Lord and the Lord told him the following. He was the teacher in Israel. In verse 5 to verse 7, he told him, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You know what is born again here? We are born from our parent by the flesh, and that is water. Sperm fertilize ova in a water atmosphere. We are born of water. But when we receive Christ, we are born by the Holy Spirit. And the born again experience is that you remember exactly the time and the date of your conversion and what had happened and how you turned from your sin back to God in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that there's a large number of people, churches, members, who are not yet born again by the Spirit of God. They have reputation, they are alive, but they are dead. You know how I know this? When I ask them, can you tell me your conversion? They don't remember how they get converted. They don't remember exactly the turning point in their life. That's why here the Lord Jesus, you know, the church in Sardis is like a graveyard. You know what's a graveyard? Dead. Either because of sin, no born again experiences in the church, carelessness, laziness, negligence, no work of the Holy Spirit, good work and good thoughts, but not the leading of the Holy Ghost. These are contribute why the church is having the opinion of the Lord about them are dead. He said, you have a name that you are alive, that thou livest, and are dead. I see you dead. There's no good work that they were doing that God had ordained for them to do. In verse 2, he told them, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now the other admonition here is, be watchful, means wake up. When we receive message of the Lord, when we read the Word of God will show us where we fail Him, where we are at wrong, and we need to wake up. That should be the message of warning to us. It means they were sleepy, they were lazy, they were negligent, they were careless about what God is telling them and what He wants them to do. So He told them, be watchful, wake up again, and look around you what you need to do, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Again, here the word die, again repeated here, there is a death around you. There is a members or workers or families or ministries that are about to die, and the reason is that you are careless about such things. Either they were not aware, or they are just, you know, they were just boasting on their previous achievements or previous experiences, or they were boasting with the material things that they have, and now they had put aside the work of God that He wanted them to do. You know, what He told them here, He told them, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. They were doing the work, but either incomplete, or they put aside, or they will put their own agenda in it, they will corrupt it, and that is becoming non-perfect. So here's the work of this church. It's work of dead, and their work is imperfect. Do the Lord Jesus Christ, do the scripture teach us to be perfect? Yes. Do the scripture admonish us that we need to be perfected? Yes. And it challenges us to do that. We'll go through these scriptures. And in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, the scripture described to us Noah, that he was a perfect man. Book of Genesis 6:9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. How he was perfect, Noah? He walked with God. He was a righteous man. So, when we read, the scripture teaches us. In chapter 17, from the book of Genesis and verse 1, God admonished Abraham directly. He told them, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. That's what God told him, be thou perfect. It means that there are things in his life not perfect. When God tells me, be perfect, so I understand that I am like the church in Sardis, for I see thy work not perfect before thy God. There are a lot of scriptures speak about the perfect heart. So here we have to take it seriously. Oh, we are having a small sin. There is no one perfect. This all lies of devil. This all lies of devil. And you know what they are doing now? They will find something on the pastor of the church because the pastor did like this. So everyone is not perfect. All lies of devil and excuses. God wants each and every one of us to be perfect. When we receive a rebuke, take it seriously. There's no excuse. We have to work it out. What are the things that you are not doing? You are not excused. You say, I have seen your work imperfect. Not perfect before the Lord thy God. So he's returning back their work completely and come back to me. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 13, was the word of God that Moses told the people, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Even the Old Testament, from the Old Testament, the message is to be perfect before thy God. Church of Sardis, I have seen thy work imperfect, not perfect. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Works. He say your works are not perfect before God. Or maybe they are just starting and they are not completing the work. Incomplete work or no progress in the work, also that is imperfection. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 8, the time when Solomon dedicated the temple of God and he brought the Ark of the Lord inside. And you know, this occasion, that occasion when the church has reached that situation, you know, they have the temple of God. You know, God had given them a lot of resources. God also enabled them to bring the Ark of God there. Everything was arranged and everything was done. That's why King Solomon, part of his instruction to the people in verse 61, he told them, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God. He said, what God have done, all these things in your life, blessing. Let now thy heart be perfect with the Lord thy God, with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. He told them, be perfect, how? Keep his statutes, keep his commandments. You know it, these commands, you keep them. That is how to let your heart be perfect before the Lord thy God. And Jesus in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 5, part of his sermon on the mountain, and verse 48, he told them, his disciple unto us today, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So here the Lord also, the same commands and the same admonition. There's a story of the rich man who came to the Lord, and the Lord admonished him. The Lord tell him what he need to do. You know, he came to the Lord and asked him, what I need to do to enter the kingdom of God? So there was discussion between him and the Lord. Finally, the Lord told him this statement, Matthew 19, verse 21. Because you ask yourself, now how I need to be perfect? That's here the question. Now we know that we need to be perfect. How to be perfect? There are things you are doing wrong, you have to stop. There are things you need to do, right things, but you are not doing. That's also sin. He told them, verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. God told him what he need to do. Go, sell, and give to the poor. Now, even today, God will tell us something to do. Like he may tell you forgive, he may tell you go. He will tell you come back, he will tell you give. He will tell you move. He will give an instruction. For you to be perfect, you obey that particular commands that he wants you to do. That is how to be perfect. The word of God help us to go along the Lord. Apostle Paul also, he admonished the church in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, he told them, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in a peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. What he told them? He told them, be perfect. Surely I have told them in the letter a lot of things. And like in Sardis, I have seen, I have not seen their work perfect. I have not seen their works perfect before God. So, what you hear in the church, what you read message, if you are not doing, or you are doing opposite, God wants you to repent and to perfect that part. Be perfect. And Apostle Paul also in the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 28, he says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So here, the church, Paul was working with God to present everyone perfect in Christ. That is the mission. That's here the point, that we need to progress forward towards perfection. Because this is the warning message. He say, be watchful, wake up, strengthen the part that's about to die, for I have not seen your works perfect before God. You have reputation of alive, but you are dead. People opinion about you are good, you are bright, you are whatever. People they like you on the Facebook. Keep it aside these things. But you are dead in the eyes of God. There's sin. There's disobedience. There's carelessness. There's non-willingness to repent and come back. You are not doing the work complete and perfect way. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. You see, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now here again, back to the scriptures. When we read the Bible, we receive rebuke, correction, we receive doctrine. All together, we have to take it and we receive a training to make us perfect and thoroughly equipped. Also, trials and troubles and suffering contribute to the perfection that God would see in our lives. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. One of the achievements of God in our life is to perfect us, even trials, difficulties. God is ready to help us, but we need to commit our life fully to him. Even suffering that he allows, the purpose of it is our perfection still. Our perfection and our completeness, that we lack nothing. Now, how we become perfect, how we understand the perfection. The first thing here is to repent of your sins that you are aware of, and use the parts of your bodies as a living sacrifice to serve the Lord. The Lord will come and show you certain sin. Once you are aware, you repent of it. Use the part of your body to serve God, to do the right thing that he wants you to do. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and when you do that, you will discover the perfect will of God, and you do it. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. So, first thing, you have to deal with sin. And look for where is the will of God in my life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now when we are willing to repent, renounce our sin, offer the parts of our body as a living sacrifice, when we are willing to not to conform and follow the pattern of this world, but renew our mind by the word of God, then we will find the perfect will of God. Now, perfection also, part of it is that you have to progress. No stagnation. Every now and then, God leading you to overcome certain things, and you are with God, you are willing to go with God, with that challenge. Also, perfection is to complete the work. In the book of Colossians, chapter 4 and verse 16, Colossians 4, 16, Apostle Paul said to the church, and Book of Colossians 4, verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that Thou fulfill it. There's a person among them, his name Archippus. He tells his letter, you tell Archippus, admonish him, that he must fulfill and finish the message that he received in the Lord, not to keep it incomplete and unperfect. Perfection also is to add a new good things in your life as God ordained. Like you add, check yourself with the previous years, where you were and now where you are. What are the sins that you are able to overcome? What are the good qualities that you had gained in your life? This is all how to know that you are moving in the plan of God in perfecting you. When you say, be thou perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. You are progressing forward. In 2 Peter chapter 2, and that will be our last scriptures for today. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. And besides this, giving all diligence, add your faith, virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Temperance means self-control. And to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. So here, perfection, I understand that I need to add, like I have 5, but the total number 7. I need to add 6 and 7. I have 4. Quite. I need to add more. These are the things how the report about me will be changed. When he say, the Lord, for I have seen your work not perfect before your God. It will be perfected. Let's come to God. How we do with all these things? By the Holy Spirit. We need to receive the Holy Spirit of God. We need to repent of our sins so the Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us and have us so that we will do His will. Let's all stand in His presence. Let us repent. As we cry to God, renouncing our sin, committing our lives once again to Him, to save Him. Oh God, thank you for your word that enlighten our mind, that admonish us, that wake us up, that give us warning. As we repent today, lead us into perfection. Give us the Holy Spirit that we need in our life to complete the journey and to serve you. And to do the work in the way that you wanted to complete it. And to finish the works, all the works and the assignments that you give us. I pray, fill us, touch us with your Holy Spirit. Stir our heart, O God. Revive us, fill us with passion of your works. And for the lost souls, take us from worldliness and renew our minds with your Holy Spirit and with your word. Grant us repentance and accept us once again as we come back to you. In Jesus' name. Hear our prayers, O God. Hear our cry, O God. Thank you, God, for answering our prayers. Continue, Lord, to revive us with your word, with the Holy Spirit. Continue to warn us, admonish us, direct us, so that we will repent of sins, we'll be perfected and walk faithfully in your ways, O God. Take your word, O God, and spread it. O God, bless us, enlarge our territory, let your hand be with us, and keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In His name, Amen and Amen.